Welcome to episode 76 of Poop or Potatoes. Today's first contestant is Jeremy Shea, Valiant 418 on the forums, who plays Retribution and sometimes Legion. To my left, Nathan Hoffman, who's providing the poop for today, plays Minions and Convergence. To my right, Andy Welton, who plays Retribution and Mercenaries with a focus on Cephalix, has brought a potato. And across from me, the darling Katie Shea has brought in a blindfold and a nose clip.
All right, Jeremy, time to play.
And I'm your host, Brian Geezy, who plays Circle, who will be laughing at Jeremy as he decides which is poop or potato.
That's terrible.
That is horrible.
Do you want it in chunk or mash form?
No.
Well, you guys have to decide. When you bring the potato, you have to kind of, you know, you bring a potato, you just hope it has the right texture.
You got to put your hand in one of the cups.
You take a taste of each, and then you have to decide.
Feel like you automatically lose if you have to take a taste of each.
With the nose clip, it's all about texture. And the thing is, like, I have a skill. Whichever way Jeremy wants to prepare the potato, I think I can match it.
Yeah, so if you're bringing that, you have to, like, eat a certain meal. Like, you have to, like, how's Andy gonna
make the potatoes?
So do I have to eat a lot of extra ruddy food, or I just eat all Chinese before the contest?
It's possible we could freeze both and then cut them into slices.
Because the mashed potatoes at Culver's is kind of really just almost like it's gravy. It's kind of gravy and potatoes in a bowl, so it's kind of already mushy. So
I just ate Little Caesars already, so I think you'd have to compare it with a raw potato.
Or as someone pointed out, evidently if you eat a lot of Skittles, it'll come all chunky. Because evidently if you...
What?
One of our players eats Skittles whole and swallows them.
So when you eat the rainbow, you shit
the rainbow.
There's something wrong with your digestive tract.
You're pretty proud of the game. So it's a good game show. It's a new one. We're proud of it.
I think it is a good game show.
We'll have a video podcast of that later.
Japan
would love poop or potato. I love it less.
If you guess correctly, you get an entire plate of potatoes.
I feel like you automatically lose this game.
If you guess incorrectly, you're also getting an entire plate of potatoes.
Yeah.
With air quotes.
You. Worst game ever.
It's not bad.
I can come up with worse games.
You can be the contestant if you'd like.
I'm the one with the potato. Uh-huh. You have to guess which one it is.
Okay.
It's a potato. Nathan has all the hard work.
Yeah. It's rough on Nathan.
Rough.
Hard work. You just have to sit down.
I mean, he can do it standing, I suppose.
I have to slave in the kitchen. Or maybe you do, too.
I have to be careful. You know, there's dangers of aneurysm and whatnot. This is a contact sport.
Hemorrhoids?
You don't want to poop too hard.
It could pull something.
Never.
Wow. I think we've reached a new low point for our podcast.
No. Because Mr. Bucket isn't on right now.
Oh, that's true. Mr. Bucket is not here. He would take it a level lower, I guess.
He put a little seasoning on that potato.
He would put a little seasoning
and
on
a little
there.
Seasoning in the poop. He'd spread it everywhere.
He would be like, I only have one choice, and that is poop.
Can I just eat the poop with the potato as a scoop or something?
Can I do both?
Just mix them together. Give me a straw.
Oh.
Hey, you know, it's guaranteed to possibly have corn in both of them.
I made the corn joke.
No, I didn't.
Nobody heard me.
I did not.
They're not listening.
I was over here having terrible mental images.
Why would you mentalize that?
How can you not?
You're gonna dream tonight of just a plate of poop and a plate of potatoes. Which one do I eat? I'm confused.
I can't sleep anymore. Ever. Forever awake.
That's our week. Thanks for listening.
Announcements.
Next week, June, July. It's almost July.
Holy balls.
July 5th, 50 points, Steamroller, Madison.
Huzzah.
It's July. Very small turnout because it's July 5th, but
yes,
that was that. Then through the rest of July, every weekend there's events somewhere in Chicago. Mm-hmm. July 19th in Des Moines is the qualifier, which already is filled. Michigan Weekend qualifier, which is filled and has a huge wait list.
Did it fill the day they made the announcement online?
It felt like the hour they made the announcement.
Well, he told everyone knew about it, so everyone reserved spots. So he said, here's an announcement. Like, four guys signed up, and they were on the wait list because he already had 40 names to throw on the sheets.
Oops.
I'm not sure why they did it that way instead of just putting the announcement up a month ago.
Well, you'd have to get into the mind of John Damaris, and I don't know if it's a place.
John Damaris?
He's always playing Pooper Potatoes in Head, so it's a very complicated place to live. That needs to be a shirt. Crippled System, Pooper Potato.
I don't know that it does. I feel like of all the shirts we've come up with, that one's my least favorite.
There's well, worse then ones. You would just get the poop then, obviously.
I still like the three shifting stones, a stonekeeper, and a stalker. I think that's hilarious.
There's somebody who followed up and said that your shirt would have to be like a wrecked stone, and then yeah. Katie would be an angry looking stalker.
Yeah. A sad looking stalker. He's way cuter, by the way.
I guess then I would be the stonekeeper.
I mean, really, any of the three of you could be.
So Brian and I just get to be stones?
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
All right.
It's simple. Cool. It's simple life.
Well, I mean, I figure I'm the one who brought about the podcast, so.
That's fine. And as long as you're around, nobody can see us.
Yeah, exactly.
August 2nd in Madison, Wisconsin, we're having an Iron Gauntlet. I forgot the last three rounds are called.
The Gauntlet rounds,
where you have to bring three 50-point lists. And I need to kind of stress that they should be playable lists, because, I mean, if you want to experience a gauntlet, because the three rounds we're going to play, you take your 50 lists, you get paid up against an opponent. You'll pick a caster, he'll pick a caster.
Yeah, and I guess without the need to actually play the list, people could douche out this thing and not understand it's supposed to be useful practice.
Yeah, it's supposed to be practice for Iron Gauntlet, so if you do douche it out, don't bring your three lists, because you want to have three competitive lists.
Sure.
And then
you understand why we don't make the first round or two 50 point.
Because three rounds of 75 point is very, very long.
Yeah, my point is make two rounds of 50 and then a round of 75.
Because that defeats the whole point of practicing. The entire reason this event exists is specifically to practice the 75-point
rounds. But there will never be more than two rounds of that. So start with a 50 and then do two 75s or something like that.
Well, you're not wrong, but I still want to do three.
It's not to practice a gauntlet tournament, which includes two rounds. It's to practice as many possible rounds of doing the gauntlet format.
Making a list? Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm going to stress, and I'm going to post in the forum, bring three. If I do see someone that doesn't have three lists, they're going to get a talking to, and I don't know, some sort of, I might just pull. Because we're going to have a lot of undefeated. It's only going three rounds. If you come with, you have three lists that are legal but obviously not playable, I may just take your name out of like the raffles, because I'm going to give a lot of money away.
What if I'm just incompetent at making lists, Brian?
Well, that's true, but we know your level of incompetence. We know what your gauge
pretty
is.
High.
Yeah, you can't feign any stupider.
Plus, all we have to do with your list is check and see if they were on the internet. And if not, you obviously didn't.
Hey, I come up with my very own ret list. That's why I lose with them.
That is a rock solid argument.
And then obviously later in August is like Gen Con, and there's other shit places. But yeah, all of July, Chicago's events, and then Des Moines has the 19th.
Pretty exciting.
This is literally, Chicago has something going on constantly.
Yeah. Yeah, Chicago's out of control this summer, which is cool.
Yeah, no, it's good for them. They got three stores running events. Four stores. Two or three, two being pretty consistent, the other two being every other month-ish. So they're set. Good job, Chicago.
Yay.
All right.
Second city. I think they're down to fourth now. Or are they still third?
Huh?
Chicago.
For what?
Second city. It's called the second city because it was the second most populous city in
America. Oh, I did not know that.
They dropped to third because New York was first, and then I think L.A. took over second. I don't know if Chicago's still third.
Detroit maybe took over?
Not unlikely. If you count, like, feral dogs and stuff, Detroit
That's what I was counting. I thought they got citizenship now.
Yeah.
They can vote.
They can vote.
They love bears.
By the way, they love poop potato.
They would enjoy that game.
It's Malcolm's favorite game. Sometimes. To be fair, Malcolm doesn't really like potatoes.
He's always says, "Oh, this is not what I wanted at all."
He plays the other game.
Potato or poop?
The potato or poop game.
Poor Michigan.
Aw.
Just depressing.
So, do you guys want to talk about things you did? I wasn't there, but
oh yeah, we had a tournament.
There was a tournament. Where was it? Oh yeah, I ran a tournament yesterday in Reedsburg. Yep. Vanguard Games, the local store in Reedsburg, which is like an hour from Madison. It's very near Wisconsin Dells.
Very nice store. It was
the guy actually moved to that location during the winter. He's been in that city for 2 or 3 years at least, and he just got a nice downtown. Because the front of his store has all sorts of like family board games. He evidently gets a huge amount of traffic from family board games, which makes sense because I'm bored in Madison. Their family board game section is huge, and they get a lot of sales off it. Mm-hmm. So more people are just bringing their kids in these family-oriented board games, and obviously getting hooked to everything else after that, but it's a good intro
drug. First taste is free.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
doesn't make us sound creepy at all.
Some people here play. I mean, I ran a 35-point event, two lists, four-round event. We had 18 people show up. It was pretty good. Well, our good friend Chris couldn't make it, unfortunately. He had some obligations that jumped on the last minute.
Oh,
he came to Madison on with a practice, and they couldn't make the event. He was a little sad. And Rick was too late. He went and bought an animal.
He went to buy sheep.
He bought two animals, I think. A ram and a ewe.
Yeah. Yep. He bought
sheep. That's a thing.
Yeah, because, you know.
Because we're Amish and or in the 1600s.
I'd like a ram and a vowel.
But
I get it.
Punny.
With the letter U.
Yes, I got it.
So I mean, if Andy and Nathan want to talk about their day a little bit, I have nothing else to add. It was a fun night. I enjoyed running it.
Since Nathan is more exciting than mine.
I saw Andy look very, very sad yesterday.
Yeah. So my first round, I ended up taking on Amanda, who is one of the locals.
Brian Kerr's girlfriend slash wife, I think. Yeah. Is it a wife? It's one of the two.
Not sure exactly, but
they're connected in one way or another.
I ended up since this is supposed to be all kind of newer games or against newer people. I kind of brought some.
You brought a friendly Ron list.
I brought a friendly Ron list.
How is Ron friendly?
That I don't play him normally.
Andy figured lack of experience would be his friendly punch pull.
Okay, which, to be fair, is it can be somewhat true.
Ron is, Ron does take a lot of he takes practice.
But I ended up winning the first game. Took on and then my.
We all got to
see. Our phones just exploded.
She was playing. By the way, three of her four rounds. She played Retribution three out of her four games.
Really?
You don't go to a tournament often and say I fought Retribution three games in a row. No, three out of four. That's just a weird.
At 35 points, no less.
I fought him two out of four.
Wow. Yeah. So my second round, I ended up taking on Jordan Knack again.
You guys run into each other a lot.
Tournament in a row that I have
people
faced
watch
in the
me
round.
Randomly pull it out. I did start laughing hysterically, but it was randomly pulled out of the sheets.
Because I was sitting next to Andy while round one was still going on and everything, and he's like, "I just know I'm going to face Jordan second round. I always face Jordan second round. It's stupid. I'm just going to face Jordan second round." And then whatever, they're fun. I get up and I leave and go to the bathroom, whatever. And then I come back and I see Andy looking like someone had just murdered his family. Just. He's angry and sad and just devastated and resigned to this terrible fate, just putting his stuff on a table.
And I look
to the left and I just see Jordan standing on the other side of the table.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was lucky in a sense that Jordan brought a Rat 4 army.
Gundorn.
How is there such a thing?
Yeah, he just brought a whole bunch of
He knew pigs. It was friendly.
Yeah.
And so he didn't like come in and just like bring some evil list. He actually brought some very goofy, fun, silly.
Yeah, no, I get that. But I'm just trying to figure out what's Matt Rat for besides
pigs. Pig bushwhackers are like, they're like Matt 5, Rat 4, I think. Or,
no, they're 4.
They're 4 on both? Yeah. Bushwhackers are?
Yeah.
That's atrocious.
Yeah, but they got combined range, though. But so it did that. I was able to pull out kind of a janky assassination. He was...
With Ron? What?
Well, no, I still had a Rube Goldberg into it. And I actually beat Jordan for the first time ever. If he would have feeded, it would not have been there, and we'd be there probably still now.
Gunbjorn's feet would have done something. Is just the important point here.
Because Gunbjorn got knocked down and then shot to
death. Funny thing.
He had Gunbjorn right next to his objective, and so I was able to whip snap my Phoenix over a wall. Mm-hmm. My Phoenix then ran all the way over, so I get an angle, so he would clip the objective, hit him with a force hammer, behind a wall too.
Yeah,
I hit him with a force hammer, knocked him down, then.
Oh, that's just
the magistrate does whip snap, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I love the magistrate. Magisters are really good.
3 inches.
3 inches, right.
Three inches. But it's within 3 inches of that model.
Yeah, and then the target, the range is only 6 or 8
six
on
inches,
it.
Yeah.
3 is almost literally exactly as what is required to get over a wall with a large base.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. So, it was... if I didn't get that... If you would have made a stuff check on that whip snap, that would have ended it right there. If I would have...
Pretty sure whip snap's on hit, sadly. It's that broken.
Oh, if it's on hit?
I'm pretty sure whip snap's on hit.
I think it is when it was killed. But anyway, if it's on hit, then that ability is even more better.
It's a bonkers ability.
Jim always played two of those.
It's supposed to be limited by range 6 spell, range 3 ability, but it's bonkers.
Yeah.
That's on Mighty Mittens?
Yeah. No, not the little mittens.
That's a magic
solo. The little solo that also has combo smite. So he can knock down heavies with that. Or do whip snap. He's just bonkers.
Battle mages in general are surprisingly good in melee.
Yeah. Two attacks, beat back, that's
it. I pulled up a no magic thing against Jim once, and then he charged with those things, and I had PTSD for a year.
Yeah, that's why Ron's Thief Force is charge of the battle mages.
You don't expect it, and then it happens. You're like, wait, they're mad. What? They get how many attacks? What's happening to me?
Squeeze me.
So my third game, I don't want to talk about these too much, but my third game, I ended up taking on the other Jordan, our local Jordan.
Jordan Bush.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you. That's exactly correct.
He ended up bringing out Strakoff and a Conquest and had a bunch of other guys there. I got very close to killing him, and then he charged in with a full Strakoff into a empty Ron. Ooh. And failed to kill Ron.
What?
He couldn't roll a seven.
He missed
charge.
The charge on the charge. He missed the seven, boosted to hit on the charge.
Wow.
And then he's just buying five attacks and eating sevens at dice minus three and hoping that gets it done.
Ugh.
And he did not hit enough of them.
Yeah, he didn't. I think maybe it did like 5 points of damage.
Without the charge, at that point, you are not mathematically getting it done.
He's only mat seven.
And then last round, it was Jordan on Jordan. That's my fault. I did it on purpose. It humored me. That was the only match fixing I did of the day.
Was Jordan on Jordan.
I'm like, Jordan on Jordan, that amuses me more than anything. That's, hey, when you're running an event, you have to give yourself a present every event.
And that's your present.
And that was my present to myself.
My last round was against Travis from Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Waukesha. Dark Legacy on the forum.
To be fair, it is Waukesha because when he texts me on Facebook, it says from Waukesha.
Yeah, except, like, it's not like Andy tells people he's from Verona. He's like, yeah. I'm from Madison.
Yeah.
Like, Waukesha doesn't count as a city.
I might from start Milwaukee. Doing that now. I might start calling it. I'm from Verona.
I'm from Fitchburg.
Anybody gives a shit about Fitchburg?
Hey, when I lived in Fitchburg, I told people I lived in Fitchburg.
She did.
We were like the recycling capital of the world or something.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
It was something.
You were first person in line for Fitchburg Day's events. Like, I'm here for the free food and burritos. Because they're not really food.
Fitchburg. Took on Travis. He had Father Lucan versus... I just rolled Ron all day. My other list was actually Viros with Imperatus, and I just chose not to play him. But I took Ron, and it was knockdown, dragged out fight. Ended up where he was able to pull out the victory at the very end with the scenario. But Lucan was down to, like, 3 health. He was on fire. I failed to hit him with a bunch of boosted attacks. Like he survived my feet round on failed hits, and he survived the round after that on just Ron boosting and attacking.
Lucan's a little bit of a drag for Rhett in general because they really bank on knocking you down, and him and his jacks are all no knockdown.
Well, he's only a defense 14, so he's pretty easy to hit with Ron spells. I mean, sixes.
With Ron. With
sixes
Ron,
on two
yeah.
dice, yeah. And then during the feet turn, I should have been able to hit him pretty well with everything else. But
yeah, if you didn't have cover.
The one awesome part is when I used one of my battle mages. In fact, it was the Magister who pushed away his corollary.
Corollary, yeah.
So he couldn't shield guard it, and then Iris went up and shot him. So he was an empty Lucant. And he survived Ron's feet turn.
Ugh.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Oh, Lucan!
Whip Snap, by the way, is so broken it's on hit.
It's just on hit?
Good. How 12?
I've been playing it wrong then, too.
Two funny details about this weekend. Last week, both Imperatus came out and the Riphorn, the Satyr, and they were both in force at the event. And they did some serious shit to people. Both of those models are enhance those factions, because holy crap.
Imperatus is a holy just crap, a next level havoc. Move for Rhett.
I didn't see
and Andy didn't even put his on the table.
I didn't put him on the table. Fool from Milwaukee was yelling at me that he was like, oh, it's a friendly event. You're bringing Imperatus.
And I think he played Imperatus.
And then he had Imperatus all night, too.
And so did some other rep player. Yeah, they were just...
If I had gone, I would have brought Imperatus.
Watching Imperatus charge sidestep, like, that's like fucking Maul Karn going crazy in the field. And then they, like, people are trying to kill him, and it took multiple Titans to bring down Fool's one game. It was like, you know, an insane amount of attacks to drop that stupid guy.
Yeah, I'll play him, but I was really starting to have fun with Ron, and
Ron's great.
Clicked out pretty well.
And Ron's one of those casters that you can get better. He has a really, really high ceiling. Like, you can learn and learn and learn with Ron.
Yeah. Imperatus has a sweet spot of A, he's a great model, and B, he actually looks like the model looks great.
He's a badass looking model.
Stats are amazing. He's got the everything about him.
Oh, the Def 13. Oh, sweet Jesus, Def 13.
All right.
That was it handy. For me.
And you went 3-1.
I went 3-1. I was in Vine to possibly go to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I ended up fifth overall.
Well, it's kind of funny. The last two games were some of the people who were like the people who were down like the 0-1s and the 1-1s and 1-2s were playing. I'm like, your guys' games determines who gets second, third, and fourth. Like our games, we matter. Well, not for you. You guys have still done a terrible, but you know your results are going to affect them.
Well, like
else.
Andy and I mathed it out just a couple hours ago. If Andy had won that last event, our rankings between him and I would have come down to both of our first round opponents were 0-3 and were fighting in the last round. So it was which of the 0-3s went 1-3 decided the first and second place if Andy had beaten Travis.
It was nice. We had a large turnout from Baraboo show up. Some of the guys, a couple of them have come to a couple events, and a few of them just haven't got out as much. So they're kind of getting out. Some of them actually drove up to Oshkosh last week for an event.
Nice.
So it's kind of cool to see them getting out and about more. And Oshkosh is actually pulling in some events more too, which is kind of nice. They're doing some unique events, and they don't have death clocks, so they're doing this like alternate death clock thing. And I don't know, they got to work with some kinks yet, but you know they're getting along. So it's cool.
Very cool.
Yep. Cool. I also played. Given that Andy deferred to me, you can probably guess that I did better than him if you don't follow our Twitter feed. But I played pigs all day because that was my theory for a friendly tournament, was that I would just bring pigs, and that way I wouldn't have to pull my punches because I'm already wearing pillows on my fists. First round, I played against Retribution. I played against Mark. It was his first tournament. He's a new player, but he was also getting into pigs, so you know, low odds there, but handily enough, that meant that I wasn't just beating up a new player who didn't know what I was using. So he's pretty familiar with it. He played Kalissa. Things went fairly well for me when, number one, I got a TK'd. I was playing Sturmandring, TK'd Roadhog, aimed and sprayed and killed Iris 3. So she didn't have to exist anymore. Spoiler, that happened in another game also. So Roadhogs were all about getting rid of Iris 3 today for me, or yesterday. But things went really well for me when I had my unit of Slaughterhousers, and he charged with the Sentinels, because I forgot the Sentinels had Vengeance.
Yep.
So I put everything like 11 inches, or like 10 inches from the Sentinels. Ugh. I had my Roadhog spray and killed the only two that were like 9 inches away from
10 inches would still be devastating, because they have reach.
Whichever. Like, I was 10 and a half. Like, there was two of them within 10, and then the rest were like a foot away.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So the Roadhog aimed and sprayed and clipped the two and killed them both, which was bad.
Which triggered Vengeance.
Because it triggered Vengeance. I'm like, oh, those guys have Vengeance. That's really not good for me. And then he charged in, and he had 6 attacks with his Sentinels, 1 against my Roadhog, and 5 against 5 Slaughterhousers, and he did nothing. He needed fives with each of those attacks.
On Weapon Master charges.
And he missed the Roadhog. He missed 4 of the Slaughterhousers, and the last Slaughterhouser had a tough.
Holy crap.
So then they stood up and wiped out his Sentinels, and then the game went very, very well for
me. That's that.
And then I just had amazing dice that game, because I also had like 2 Slaughterhousers on the other side. They were melee tying up its Mage Hunter Strike Force. So he'd go up, and he'd do a CMA to get the damage to kill me, and then I just tough fall down, stand up the next turn, re-engage them all. Like, I passed like 9 tough checks in a row on that. It was just absurd dice. So you don't hear that from me in a positive way often.
Way, yeah.
But I diced the shit out of Mark that game. Second round was against Rich from Chicago. He drove up with Jordan Knack. What I learned most that game is that P. Morgul does not beat Carver ever. Like, I felt... like, not like I was clubbing a baby seal, like somebody had tied a baby seal down so that it couldn't possibly dodge while I clubbed it. It was really bad because, I mean, I just put Quagmire on the Brigands and run 2 of them base to base with his Titans, and I'm like, okay, you get to do nothing this turn except punch a couple pigs, and then I murder shit and Quagmire him again. I mean, it's just such a low model count army that I can Quagmire literally his entire army.
His Thrall would have came in handy.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck with that.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
So
would be a joke. That was just depressingly brutal. And then Carver's feed turn, I just picked up both Titans off the table. It was just disastrous for him. Third round, played against Fool, another Rhett one. Once again, a Roadhog aimed and sprayed and killed Iris. And then same thing as the first game. I just had Slaughterhousers tie up Mage Hunter Strike Force so that instead of doing anything useful, they were just killing shitty pig infantry while a Roadhog made its way around the table to spray them down finally. The big nice thing for me that game was he was playing Assyria, and Assyria put 3 focus on his Phoenix, and she cast a couple spells, and she sent the Phoenix in, and the Phoenix killed 1 of my 2 Roadhogs, and he camped 2 because the other Roadhog could have charged, and if he gets an 11, he hits her, and then it's dice minus 3 boosted, and then she's on fire, and you know that's very dangerous. Instead, if he'd cast Admonition on his Phoenix doesn't die. But he did not cast Admonition, so he lost his Phoenix, and then he just didn't have any hitting power, and so that was the game for me. And then last round, I played against Menoth John, and I got fucking lucky, because he was playing Kalandra, and he was beating me on Trishan really well. He was gonna... He was running super low on time. He only had like 2 minutes left on his death clock at the end of the game, but he all I had left was Gudrun, who was baller yesterday, by the way, because I only dropped him in games that had zero guns on my opponent's side of the table, so he actually made it to melee for once. But he, all I had was Gudrun and Carver and then the Razorback crew. So if he kills three models, I can't contest anymore. And then he wins just by, you know, everything activates, everything forfeits, your turn, I score two. Everything activates, everything forfeits, I score two. So he beat me in 30 seconds. So it doesn't matter that he was down to 2 minutes. But the last thing he did was had Kalandra go up, cast Starcross to protect herself, put the Flaming Fist Animus on his two Light Beasts because I'd killed... I don't think he even had a heavy. He didn't even have a heavy. So he put Flaming Fist on his two Lights to kill my last heavy, which left her naked. Yeah. And so she unfortunately was naked 11 inches away from Carver. Ugh. So she died.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he hadn't given that to me, he had that game. So I lucked out there, and that was my day. And then I used the money, as some people asked us to, I used the prize money to buy Risk Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start playing that. We would have started playing it today, but Katie has to figure out a way to work racism into a conversation that has nothing to do with that.
That's true. We have a group assignment to talk about organizational effectiveness in business.
Right. Organizational effectiveness in business. In other words, race relations.
And so one of my group members was like, I really enjoy talking about racism in the 60s and how that happened. And I was like, all right, that could be like a really cool. How do you see that fitting in? I think it's just a really cool story. We should put it in.
Like, they didn't even try to justify it.
Nope.
No, I was like, okay, cool. You write your piece and you let me know how that fits in. I don't know what to do.
Sometimes when you're in a group with someone suggests an idea that's just so not anywhere near, and if no one else calls it out, you're like, oh, okay.
I will say that I have never in all, like, I've done a lot of schooling in my life. There's never been a group project. Thank you. There's never been a group project I've been on that was in any way a good experience, ever.
I thought this was another incident where you just paint yourself into a corner.
No. No, like, group projects are terrible. They're miserable, and the best you can hope for is that you learn nothing and one of your group members does the work. That's your best case scenario. That is literally the best you can hope for.
Having a hot group member. And banging.
This is an all online class.
This is an all online class.
Having like, a hot
video
Skype chatting.
Yeah. Like, I can't even look at her. Like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like,
yeah, it's probably better, because looking at your face to her probably been bad. Like, seriously.
Like, I don't know what you're doing. And so then one other person took like the initiative, and they're like, "All right, well, I'm gonna take, because there are seven categories you have to go. I'm gonna take category number one, and I would be open to taking another category because there are more categories of people." And she was just, I don't know what to do with this person. I don't know what to do.
Ha, fun. You have to do schoolwork today.
So glad I'm not in class anymore.
I got half my homework done today.
Hey, but we got Risk ready to go.
We did.
That's true.
So we decided that a lot of European countries needed to be valuable.
We did.
Because we love Europe.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll have something like that on our Crippled System page.
Operation Passport for Brian's getting closer. I got my passport photo, and I got the form for the passport to fill out. Now all I need is a pen.
And you got like two more years before you need that thing, right?
And I have to actually call it. I didn't realize the post office, you have to make an appointment. So once I fill out the form, I have to call the post office and make an appointment to go in and go through whatever rigmarole, they're going to shove their finger in and make a check. I think they do that.
I think you're mixing up passport and prostate.
The way my last two trips to the post office have gone.
No, that's the airport. But you show the passport and they're like, all right, yeah, but cough.
You just give them money.
Not that hard.
They evidently need an appointment to give them money.
You don't in Mount Horeb.
You give them money and they stick their finger up your ass. Like, this is a situation I've been in before.
Yeah. They have a little menu of how, you know.
So you are wrong in that it is that hard.
It's a penis Bazing. Joke. Well done, darling.
Thank you. That's why I started laughing. There
we go. Hey, we have to go back to our contest. We're very excited.
We're all thrilled.
Today's winner is one that we didn't even realize some of us voted for. Hey, but we voted for you, so we're going to cover it, although we don't know how it made it.
No offense to the person who submitted it, but we have no clue how.
Well, I was going to say the name, but never mind.
It's a wonderful topic. It's just...
It is. It's just... None of us remember voting for it.
Three out of five of us don't remember voting for it.
Hey, to be fair, I just picked things.
One of us actually voted for it with knowledge. One of us picked randomly. And one of us likes psychology in general and didn't do further research.
That's fair.
So, Jeremy, go ahead and explain the topic for our listeners.
So, the question
our
was...
Our wonderful, wonderful listeners.
And all the other ones.
Yeah, those guys, too. So, the question was, which of the three magic archetypes are we, and do we agree with each other's self-assessments? So, for those of you who may or may not know, Timmy, Johnny, and Spike are the three magic archetypes. I'm going to briefly cover them. Mm-hmm. There's lots more information. Go read online if you really care. Timmy...
Side note. When I first learned that word, it was from the Shadowrun 2nd Edition rulebook.
Side note.
I thought it was pronounced archetype.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, my mind was blown like a decade later when I heard it said out loud, and it was archetype.
What? Wait, what? Arch.
No, not arch. Archetype. Whoa.
It's like, I was in theater once, and we were doing practicing, and we were doing the line readings and everything, and touche was mm-hmm. supposed to be said by a character, and the girl playing the line goes, touchy.
That's pretty good.
It was great.
That's enjoyable.
All right, go on.
Hey, wait a minute. I have another side note.
Hurry.
Alicia Silverstone couldn't pronounce, what was it? I just read it today on the Facebooks. Couldn't pronounce one of the words, and the director paid everyone off not to correct her.
What? That's terrible.
I was watching QI the other day, and they were talking about camels, and the one lady's like, hey, I only know one camel joke, so I want to tell it. And I'm like, oh, I only know one camel joke, so she's going to tell the joke. And she started the joke, and it was the same joke, and then the punchline was different. And I'm thinking, that's not right. That's the wrong joke. And then one of the other panelists was like, hold on, wait. I know a different punchline. I'm like, oh, thank you. I can sleep tonight.
Interesting. All right.
It involved camels and sex.
Side note, I don't have a story.
Wait. Andy, no one can hear you from the other room.
He said the other room is shouting, wait.
I just said wait.
All right. So the three archetypes are Timmy, Johnny, and Spike. What?
No.
What?
I have to finish what you started.
Which is what?
Who pooping potatoes last poop?
Nope. I have to finish what you started.
Okay.
What word Alicia Silverstone can pronounce?
While you're looking it up.
Nope.
Oh.
It's Karchoo.
Karchoo?
Karchoo.
Okay. Oh, Karchoo!
Karchoo!
Yes! It's Karchoo. The
Is it like Pikachu?
The chibi Karchoo.
No, I understand, but why Karchoo?
I don't know, but it's Karchoo. Yes, he's right.
That question was brought up 3 weeks ago. We now have an answer. Four listeners remember. Everyone else is like, what the hell?
So, good job, Karchoo. Yeah. Thank you, Andy. I feel better now.
I think it should be Karchoo the Adorable. All
right. I think it might be.
That would be much...
All right.
So this guy's in the French Foreign Legion, and he's stationed in the desert, and he's the new guy, and he's like, what do you guys do for sex around here when you get horny? And one of the veterans is like, well, you know, we use the camels. And so the guy holds off a couple of times, like, I'm not going to do that. That's terrible. And then after a while, he just can't take it anymore, and so he goes out, and he sees, like, the bed goes...
Afraid not!
Yeah, and bedtime happens, and then he sees some of the guys just come sprinting out of their tents, just sprinting for the camel hut. And he stops one, and he's like, why are you guys running? They're just camels. He's like, yeah, but you don't want to get an ugly one. So that was the wrong punchline.
Yes.
The correct punchline was that Foreign Legion, what do? For sex, we use the camels. So he holds off for a while, can't stand anymore. He goes out there and he just fucks one of the camels. And the next day he goes up to veterans and like, you know, I thought you were crazy, but I fucked one of the camels last night and it felt really good. And the guy's like, what the hell are you talking about? I meant we used the camels to ride into town to the whorehouse.
That's better.
Yeah.
And where I thought it was going, so yeah. I feel better now.
I was shocked when the lady told the wrong punchline. I'm like, he's supposed to fuck the camel, and then I was so happy.
He's supposed to fuck the camel.
I was so happy when Phil Jupiter
gave the sentence. I hope I don't hear again.
Yes.
I can live without
it. You'd be surprised how often he's supposed to fuck the camel comes up as a valid sentence.
I don't know that that's true.
This is the first time I've ever heard it in 28 years.
It's from the spinoff game from Poop or Potato, Fuck the Camel.
It's the side game you play after Poop or Potato. It's like spinning a wheel.
When we make terrible Double Dare, and these are all different stops on the final...
It's a new week.
That was a good game, though, Double Dare.
Right, that's why we're making terrible Double Dare, because the Mark Summers one was already good.
We could just call it Terrible Dare.
You know, he had OCD, so he was just constantly, like, in mental trauma the entire time they were filming that show.
Yeah.
What the hell?
He was, like, straight in the fringes on his carpet.
Yeah, I've heard.
He combed them. He would take a comb to the carpet fringes. And he's on Double Dare.
Seems like the worst thing ever.
He was a professional.
He was a professional.
Back to our contestants.
So can I actually
read
this?
Timmy, Poop, or Potatoes?
Timmy, Johnny, Spike.
And Poop.
Timmy, the term power gamer was first coined for Timmy, even though it's not used the way that Timmy is designed. Timmy likes big, stompy, cool things. So triple colossal lists, He doesn't care if they're good. He doesn't care if they win. He doesn't care if he wins. He wants to see something amazing. He wants to see a PAL 45 model punch and just eliminate one shot a colossal. Like, that's what Timmy wants to see. He doesn't want to combo. He doesn't want to control things. He just wants to blow shit up. That's Timmy. Johnny wants to do all combos all the time. He wants an infinite combo of amazingness. He wants to play E. Haley and E. Kruger's love child that has TK and temporal barrier and Haley's feet and just go fuck yourself. I have this infinite combo you can't ever beat if I pull it off. And then Spike just wants to win. Spike wants to figure out the game. He wants to solve the problem that is the game and figure out what the best list of plays. He doesn't care if it's fun. He doesn't care if he has fun. He doesn't care if you have fun. Doesn't care. Just wants to win everything.
You said somebody made up a fourth scenario.
There is a fourth one, and I can't remember what it's called, and I wasn't able to find it quickly. Oh, okay. There is a fourth one that people talk about.
But it's not one of the classic
three. It's not one of the classic three. So Timmy, Johnny, Spike are the classic three. And these were invented, or at least explained for the first time, in a Magic article way back in the day, where they said that these are the three players we keep in mind when we're designing our game. So in their mind, they're the three types of players that play Magic.
And you're the one who knowingly voted for this. So
I did. I am the only one that knowingly voted for this. So I would say at the end of the day, if I were any of the three, I would be a Spike. I don't care about cool, explosive things. I don't care if I'm winning with an infinite combo. I just want to get better at the game. I want to come up with a list. And if that list is Evail and Saren, and there's just no better pairing than Evail and Saren, then I'll just play Evail and Saren. Fuck all of you. And I'll just win tournaments.
But you play Rhett.
I really like my Rhett. And actually, I think Rhett right now, the reason I'm switching back to Rhett now as opposed to 6 months ago is Imperatus is out, and Assyria is out, and the Houseguard Thane is out. And I need to think about it and solve it, and I haven't yet. But I think those pieces together make Rhett a very winnable faction. Hmm. And they didn't used to be, which is why I stopped playing them and bought Legion. Like, I played Legion for about the last year because I got incredibly frustrated being a Spike playing Rhett. Because I couldn't solve it. I just couldn't. The Rhett problem, and to some extent Rhett still struggles with this, but the Rhett problem is every single game is list chicken. If I know what faction you're playing, I can come up with a list that will beat you 90% of the time. But when I have to build a list for the field, every single game we sit down, I'm flipping a coin, and like, one of these games I'm 80% advantaged in, and one of these games I have a 20% chance to win. Great, let's see if I win this game. Oh, I didn't win this game. That was fun.
Right.
And that got really old really fast. And I think Rhett's in less of a situation like that now.
I think I'm a Johnny. Okay. Because I play Circle.
I could see that. Circle's a very Johnny sort of faction.
But I didn't really know when you read this. Because I don't really like combinations so much. I just like having a lot of options.
And shenanigans. You like shenanigans.
I think that's like why I like Lords of Waterdeep so much. There are lots of options that you can do. And yeah. There's lots of shenanigans with player interference. And
Eurogamers tend to be spikes a lot, though. Because Eurogames at a higher level are basically just puzzles to solve. There is optimal, provable gameplay maneuvers at any given time.
Yeah, but I don't like that. Because you should be able to come up with something better than that.
And that's why you're a Johnny and not a Spike. Like, you want to come up with a cool thing that works. And you don't want to play the same thing every time. Because you'd be so bored with that. In my opinion.
So Baldur sucks.
If yeah.
Not the only reason.
Just move forward a little bit. Do something.
I agree.
When I played Magic, I was a Johnny. By far, for sure. Like, the list that I played most and that I actually won Magic tournaments with, so nothing big, like I was in a national player or anything, but a little local, whatever kind of things, was a all-white deck that was Millstones and Circles of Protection, and I literally, you could not attack me, and your deck went away. And then
you win.
And then I won. Like, It was just very passive-aggressive. It's all about combos, because it was little stuff like Island Sanctuary, which means I can't be attacked except if I get rid of Island Walker. Other ones is like, I can't be attacked if I don't draw a card, but if I have another card that allows me to draw additional cards, I'm still getting cards on top of that. And it was just, I was very, very much about card combos when I played Magic. I don't know how much it carried over to War Machine. I mean, I did play Mercs for several years, so I guess Mercs is nothing but combos.
Yep.
I played Trolls and I play Minions now. I mean, they're not really... I'm definitely not playing overtly powerful stuff.
Well, you do play Convergence now.
Which is definitely shenanigans.
Yeah, they're shenanigans. They're very order of operations.
Very order of operations. Like, that's... Because that kind of comes down to the thing, because there's a lot of spike to that as well. Like, it seems like Johnny and Spike seem to overlap a lot on the Venn diagram. Because
I would agree.
how is Spike solving, quote unquote, solving these games?
So
is
Johnny it, wants to come through. Up with something cool, whether it wins or not.
Okay, it's still Timmy.
Spike doesn't care if it's cool as long as it wins.
So he would go in and he would play. He'd play the same thing over and over and over again because it's the best thing there, and
Spike never plays more than two casters in his faction unless there's a three caster format, and then he's got his third caster he always plays.
So like Jordan would be a good Spike because he plays Butcher One, Butcher Two.
Yeah. I think
yes.
I'm a Johnny with some Spike. I'm resentfully Spike-ish in that, like, when I played Mercs, I always bemoaned the fact that I found it difficult to play several of the casters. Like,
I'm going to read you something.
I had, like, three or four casters that I played a lot, and the rest never saw play. And I wanted to play with them because they looked really neat and cool, but I felt like I was solving the other ones.
The Johnny-Spike hybrid wants to win, but only on his own terms. Most of the Rogue Tournament deck builders are Johnny Spikes.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah, that would be because that's why I'm torn between the two, because it's doing shit like I specifically wanted to make a great tournament deck in Magic that didn't attack because that was weird and different and it fucked with people's brains.
And that's why you play Mercs, because they're weird and different. Yeah. I would agree that
if
you're a
Johnny Spike hybrid is a recognized thing, that I go for.
That's a thing.
It's hard for me to give a direct answer because I definitely want to win, but I definitely don't want to necessarily just play the same two things, but I won't play things that I feel are bad. And it's very similar to Nathan, I think, in a lot of ways. It's definitely a hybrid of the two. When I'm too much... I think sometimes when I'm more Spike than Johnny, I enjoy the game less.
Is there such a thing as a Timmy Spike combo who wants to solve the game through overpowered shit? Because that's Scorn.
A Timmy Spike
solves the game by smashing your face.
A Timmy Spike player wants to win, but also indulges fun side. When picking a deck, he'll pick the good deck with the biggest creatures or effects, aka a player who wants to win who plays Scorn would be a Timmy Spike.
I mean, Crix is like this. My Banes are going to do a billion damage.
No, I have more of the Banes. But if I have more of the Banes.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with. Yeah, that makes more sense. If those combos.
Yeah, the hybrids all exist.
Because
you
do, like, I think you're less, I mean, you are good at them, don't get me wrong, but if you can build a simpler list that gets shit done, you like to do that. Like, you are great at doing shenanigans if you have to, but when building a list, I will purposely put in janky shenanigans, and I think you'd rather just go, well, the Bronzeback murders their entire army, so why wouldn't I just do that?
So I don't need three of them. I don't need step two.
Right, exactly.
Step one, apply Bronzeback. Step two, profit.
It reminds me of...
And Gorshade's a very null caster, and I like him a lot.
You do. Really,
I mean, his army does a lot, but yeah, so I guess I would go with that Timmy Spike.
Timmy Spike. I would agree that makes a lot of sense for you.
I don't know that Circle's going to be a good fit.
It hurt. Yeah. My gears grind a lot in my head when I'm playing that.
Hurting.
It's all for a goal.
It is.
I need to qualify.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going more, he's going more Spike. More Spike, a little bit of Johnny for that. Mostly Spike in that one.
Timmy.
Andy?
I don't feel good.
Well, that's not good.
Well, you did eat like an entire loaf of crazy bread just an hour ago.
Crazy bread's so good,
too. It is
so good.
And
my tummy says,
it's just funny because we got hot and ready. We got home, and he opens up the crazy bread. And, you know, there's like a dozen slices or whatever. I have one. I, like, look at my phone for a little while. I look over, and there's two slices left.
Were you hungry, Andy?
I don't blame Andy. Crazy bread is delicious.
Mm-hmm. It's so very hard. I would have to forego food for 2 days to have, like, a bag of crazy bread. But I'm debating doing that once in a while because it's so good.
I don't think crazy bread goes through my system that quickly, though. I don't think
it just triggers, like, it doesn't go through you. It's still going through its slow process, but it tells all the doors on the bottom, open up. Evacuate everything coming before whatever this is, because this is going to need some extra room.
It's going to be
clear a path.
I think I'm less potatoes, more poop.
your crazy bread has the bulldoze effect.
Clears out everything that was in there.
Yeah, just pushes it 2 inches forward. All at once, through all your balls.
If I remember slightly correctly, because I was in the bathroom when everybody else was explaining their archetype, I believe. Is everybody else done?
Yeah.
Well,
I just finished up.
I can go around the room. I said I was Spike, Katie was Johnny, Nate was Johnny Spike, and Brian was Timmy Spike.
And Andy's Timmy.
Andy's Timmy.
Yeah, I'm pretty much.
Andy's Timmy. Pretty Timmy.
You're a fluff bunny. You like cool stuff.
I'm not a fluff bunny, really.
He has a little bit of Johnny. Tiz Durgan's a little bit Johnny, though.
Well, he likes... Timmy still like to win, but only a Timmy would play a triple Earthbreaker list and be like, this is the most fun I've ever had. And Andy, the look on Andy's face when he puts three Earthbreakers on the table is pure joy.
It is a lot of fun to play. I mean, it also is actually pretty decent.
It is pretty decent. Like, Timmy doesn't intentionally play to lose.
Yeah.
Like, none of these archetypes are playing to lose. Spike doesn't care if he has fun is the big difference between Spike and the other two. He could care less if he's having fun.
He's not playing
fun.
A game, he's solving a puzzle.
Yes. He doesn't care if he has fun. He doesn't care if you have fun. He's playing P. Haley.
That's my next step. When I stop playing Circle, I'm going to borrow someone's Signar and go P. Haley.
P. Haley. Double Haley, P. E. Haley.
But I need to borrow Double Storm. I'm going to play the E. Haley theme, Double Storm Striders.
That theme list is interesting.
I have a tray for you that you could use.
We need to go to an event and just jank stuff up like that. Just all like cycle factions. Because I want to play Gristle One Theme Force again. I miss
That's
that.
A big thing at Hardcore is people go and they trade lists to Hardcore.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just a big thing that
people do. I've always wanted to do this, but we can't get enough people to do it. I've wanted to go to a tournament, each of us all taking the same exact list. Very similar.
Didn't you guys do that once?
Exactly similar to...
We talked about years ago. It was after Pain Train, I think. But we talked about having... To the model identical Terminus lists we were going to do.
Ugh.
We were going to do literally identical Terminus lists. Because the best thing would be if we all won round one, and then everybody else in the loser bracket was like, what did you face? So I faced this. Me too.
Yeah, it's just going to be Terminus with all the fixins. And yeah, we'd never get around to doing
Which
that.
Would be almost as much fun as playing four games against the McBain pain train.
Yeah, that round two when we invaded Milwaukee with that was very painful.
So right. Fun round one, though.
It was.
To be fair, that's a very Timmy idea, by the way.
Yeah. And everyone embraced their Timmy for that day.
Yeah.
And then they all hated it in round two. Like, damn that Timmy in my head.
Because that was McBain came out that Wednesday, too, so nobody knew
what
he did.
Nobody was ready for countermeasure or his feet. Like, those two things hitting people who aren't
either were the actual
people
playing it.
Yeah.
The round two, like, oh, what the oh, fuck me.
Yeah, when I think of a Timmy, Andy, in War Machine, I think Andy epitomizes the Timmy in all of us.
Jason Gargathor epitomizes the Gargathor, Timmy in all of us.
Gargathor is a reformed Timmy. You talk to Gargathor about when he used to play and cared about winning, and he was a spike till the day was over, and he realized that he was not only ruining tournaments for himself, but everyone around him, and he was like, fuck this guy I used to be, I'm going to be a Timmy now. Mm-hmm. Like, he just went, like... They're not opposite ends of the spectrum because it's three sides, but like in his mind, he was getting as far away from Spike as he could.
Yeah,
he's very Timmy now.
See, that was a decent topic.
Yeah, see, I told you guys.
Which we voted for.
You guys were all worried about it.
Hypothetically,
that was a great topic.
Part two about how we play against those people, but I don't have an answer.
Just play. I mean, if you're going against somebody who's a Spike, then it's just. Probably not going to be a much fun game.
Playing to them is going to be worse than just playing to your own strength.
Although, if the only thing I do is if my opponent's rigid, which is kind of what I mean more Spike, because you do something unexpected and you can just break someone's brain. You go outside the box when they're all expecting something and you can just watch their gears collapse. That's how I beat Jim more than I can most people, because I'll just do something completely unnormal.
Something that makes zero sense. When you play any board game with Jim, he's planned out four turns in advance, everyone doing the optimal move. And you do this move that's in any way non-optimal, and he just loses his sheet. He's like, that ruined my plan for the next four turns, and it wasn't optimal for you. See how this was better? And you're like, but I ruined your
very,
plan.
And he's very dynamic when he played War Machine, but if you did it just a weird enough random thing, you could just throw him off his game. I would do that so much to him. It was so great. He just didn't understand what was happening.
Well, that tournament I beat him in, he lost. Like, I went for like a 30% assassination, if that. Yeah. And he lost his shit when I hit it.
That's the day he quit War Machine.
It was.
I was one of his last tournament games too. And I would pull.
Well, I got him, and then he took like a month off, and he came back for one tournament. And he played you, and you 30%ed him, and he was just like all out. He's like, I'm done. I'm out. This game sucks.
Still love Jim. He's.
I love Jim too.
But Jim, by the way, we're having Bring Meat Friday. Sometime my house.
Jim listens to this?
I don't know.
No, he doesn't.
Bring meat.
But now apparently the world's
going to
bring meat.
Go to Katie's house and Jeremy will grill it. We'll also have the game Poop Potatoes going on in the background. Travel edition.
After dinner game. Travel edition.
Travel edition.
You need like a baby and some fingerling potatoes?
Oh. I don't want to talk about that anymore.
August 30th is my wedding. Show up, Token Creek.
Yeah,
yeah, see you there.
Dress somehow appropriately.
There'll be bring your own hard liquor.
What? I'll bring my bottle.
Okay.
Katie's all about bringing a bottle.
Yeah. I might bring some alcohol.
You keep promising me that, and you keep not delivering.
If you're not going to, let me know so you can DD for Katie and I.
You don't need to see Brian on alcohol.
I actually really want to. It's on my bucket list.
I've seen it.
It's on my bucket list.
I've seen it.
I drank 17 years ago.
That's true.
It was a good year.
Hey, everybody needs important things that are difficult to achieve on their bucket list. That's on mine.
Brian got very mad at me one time when I had the bartender put vodka into his Mountain Dew. He was very mad. He was like, how can you taste it? It's vodka. You know.
Unfortunately, I can taste alcohol in anything. It doesn't matter what it is.
Have I told you guys the stories before about how I got super hungover and so like I swore off alcohol for a while? And then
that was the longest 3 days of your life.
Yeah, it was the longest 3 days of my life. But it was a while. It had been like 2 months since I had a drink. And then Jeremy was like, I'm going to get her drinking again. So I'm going to put champagne in her orange juice and she won't notice.
Mimosas taste nothing like orange juice.
They taste delicious.
They're delicious, but they do not taste like orange juice.
And then he was like, how did you know?
Because it tastes like mimosa.
It was funny.
What do you mean, how did I know?
It was funny.
I can taste.
Yeah, you have a sense of taste.
Are we mentioning our special crippled system?
Mm. No.
Mm. Okay.
It's a secret. Shh, don't
tell anybody. It's a secret.
Secrets, don't tell anybody.
It's a secret system to everybody, and then you give them 30 rubies.
All right.
Sorry.
Do we have another topic?
Yeah, I wanted Brian to talk about. I wanted him to chronicle out his entry into Circle.
Hold on. I do want to say, during this topic, if you could, I'd also like to talk about racism in the 60s.
they're related.
Fit that in.
If you could just fit that in, that would be great. I think we should talk about it.
All right, briefly. So, as I've learned from Daikon, if you want to win a War Machine Weekend Invitational qualifying spot, you have to play Circle. Uh-huh. So, Katie has been kind enough to borrow me her Circle. And I have looked at these stats, and I have decided to play Epic Kruger and probably Epic Kaya, but I haven't locked in Epic Kaya. I'm pretty much locked in Epic Kruger.
Yeah, Cassius is still tempting him.
I kind of want to do with Cassius because he seems Crixish, but Cassius seems super high skill, and I don't know if I have the time.
He is super high skill.
Chromax's relatively easy and has Bestial, and Bestial's a bullshit
spell.
Yeah,
he's the maybe I go to. I have to figure out my other list in the next 2 or 3 days, so it's going to be soon. So last week I go down and I'm basically having Katie follow me around table to table when I play games. Ooh. And I brought up my Kruger list, Kruger 2, and I think some stalkers and a Gorax and some shifting stones and the double pew pew laser world shrimp dudes. And so I sat down against Rick playing his minions. I did forget to cast Stormwall one turn, so that was, you know, a weird thing.
Disastrous.
And he actually shot a lot of stuff that turn. I was like, I guess I should have Stormwalled.
That'll happen.
So if you play Kruger 2, you should Stormwall a lot, I learned. Uh-huh. Also, stones get in the way a lot.
What?
Stones are always in the way. When I play Scorn, my support's in the back, and it's nice and convenient. But this is like, they're in the way. They're up front.
So...
I need to clarify for a minute.
The reason they were in his way is because he was trying to clear a path for a stalker to charge that was in a unit of stones. Katie,
they looked far away.
As a circle player, how many times have you ever charged a stalker?
I don't know. It depends if Chromex playing and they charge for free.
I think you mean the Kaya, but yeah.
No, because Wild Aggression. They
Wild Aggression also gets free charge. Okay.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting about that one. The Stalker was right next to Kruger, so even if it looked far away, he could totally measure the distance. But the more exciting part is he sprinted into people. He killed something.
Into enemies.
And then he sprinted into a unit of pigs, and I was like, hey, so you know sprint is at the end of your activation. And he's like, I know. And then he...
And by pigs, she means slaughterhouses, for those of you keeping score at
home.
Well,
I figured if I engaged them all, they couldn't... I thought maybe they couldn't all charge me.
If he literally made it so they couldn't charge, they're only mat 6 and probably don't kill him.
I failed that, too.
Oh, if they got their charge distance, that was a very terrible, terrible idea.
Well, to be fair, when my turn started, I was going to kill his caster, but then I did some other things that didn't... I didn't follow through in the kill his caster part
and then
of the
you
face.
You didn't ever shoot your gun with Kruger. Well, you didn't even take your free shot.
It's a lot of shooting. I didn't want to just... Evidently, like Kruger's deal with his gun, I found out.
Sustained attack on a gun is pretty good.
So I did teleport the game. So my stones are just in the way constantly. I have beasts not inside the stones when I do things.
Right, how are they supposed to charge when there's these stones?
I know, these stones are just getting in the way. I finally teleport Kruger out, and I start shooting his caster, and if I because the sustained attack is cool, but then I couldn't roll an 8. And then I lost.
You did lose.
I'm assuming boosted eight. You missed three boosted times.
No, I actually hit the first shot, but on damage, I needed to roll over eight.
But to be fair, in that game, you learned it doesn't matter if stalkers have a defense 14 because they'd be dead if you leave them.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, they should have just had. They should have defense 14, no armor, and then just die in four hits, four or less hits. Two to four hits kill you. And it's just an automatic thing.
Yep,
that's they can be a like the story. Book. They can give it 3 hit points, and then each attack does 1 damage. Yeah.
The Wilder is kind of like a super pain giver, which is kind of convenient. So I kind of understand the Wilder because it's a little bit like a super pain giver, which is good.
Yep,
a little bit. Good.
But yeah, the shrimp are like they're zephyring or they're concentrating fire, and then they constantly miss whatever they're shooting at. And evidently, you can
miss if you're aim. If you're 6 inches away from somebody, you don't move towards them with the shrimp.
I wanted to make sure I got him.
You know Stormwall only affects enemy models, right?
Yeah. And forgetting to cast it a turn is bad. So then I played a couple games against Jeremy this morning.
With my ret.
Like at 8:30 in the morning.
It was not 8:30 in the morning.
It was like 9. It was by 9. It was early. First game was 9.
It might have been the first game
you wake
nine.
Up at like 5 in the morning. You're an old man. You sleep from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. Yeah. So you can get up and go to the IHOP.
We had to go. We had to go for a walk first.
Yeah. Katie wanted to get some exercise.
So I go first in both games. And somehow after charging four, I'm only like 8 inches up the table. So we reset because I did something terribly wrong. Where I
like he's sitting there and he's like, I can't reach anything. Everything's out of range. And I'm like, I don't even know how. So I'm like measuring things like 3 inches up from the back of the board. I was like, how did you get here, Brian?
I don't even know what happened then. So I played turn and a half. And we just reset the game because I don't know what Brian did. Because I usually when I go first, I'm like, you know, midway in the field. But I did something you terribly weren't. Wrong. I was, you know.
You were not.
I was near the starting point.
Quick Brian's corner. You should run on your first turn.
Or charge.
Or charge. You should run or charge on your first
turn.
So
in the replay, I definitely charged everything. And basically, what I've learned is Kruger just casts Stormwall and charges for it. Maybe he drops a Fury based on how many BCFs. Yeah. It's like Stormwall charge. So I got that down. And I'm getting the spacing of the stones apart so I can actually like run in.
You do know you can spread the stones out such that the beast can run past them and the back of their base is in the stone. Well, that's something you have yet to.
I haven't got that level. Far yet. That's okay. The next achievement.
I mean, we've discussed it, but.
It's hard to do. And then I got the druids up front doing these cloud thingies, and then one's doing the snow elemental. So it's a lot to do. I have all these tokens everywhere. That's and true. Then I have that stupid Scarfell Griffin. Is it Scarfell?
You're talking about the Rotterhorn.
I killed. It's killed a model in multiple games. It just kind of flies around not doing anything.
Killed Epic Eris.
Yeah, but that's all it did. I'm thinking I'm playing her.
He just used those words. Those are words he used. It auto-hit and boosted damage to kill Epic Eris.
Yeah, but that's all it did.
That's all it did, was auto-kill Epic Eris.
To be fair, how many points is the Riggle Raffle?
4 points.
See, and she's only 3. Yeah. So he did not make his points back.
It was a bad move.
It's a very complicated faction, and I'm getting there. I have a couple weeks to get myself primed to take out Keith.
Johnny it up.
I'd like to point out that the first list he played against me with, I played Assyria with Hyperion, so 20 of my points were ranged 5 the whole game, and he managed to like almost lose. Like he didn't almost lose, but like he thought he was losing the entire game. My army was range 5, a gun army that's range 5.
Yeah, I can't tell. It's odd. Even when I'm doing really well, I can't tell with Circle. It's just
it would be really good.
The problem is...
you'll be good on unlikely allies? That asshole.
Uh-huh. And anyone else.
And McBain. You're range 5, and you can't shoot if you're within 5 inches of someone.
Well, it doesn't make everything range 5, only my range 10 guns.
Fuck you.
There are lots of range 10 guns.
There are a lot of range 10 guns.
That'd be sexy.
So all I really do with him is I cast Stormwall, shoot people, and feet. So he's a very boring caster in many ways.
Yeah, you never cast TK or anything like that.
I guess I TK a few times. A
few times. Only one of the best spells in the game.
You TK'd a stone out of the way of his beast so it can charge.
I did.
You did?
Yeah. I literally did that.
That was the worst thing I could possibly think of to do.
And it's what
true.
He did.
Well, it was in the way.
So we sat down, we redid terrain for the second game, and he put a forest in the middle of the table, and I was like, so that's how that game's going to go, Rhett versus Circle. Well, and then Brian was like, no, it's fair, because this is really bad for me, too. And I said, how? He said, well, I don't have Pathfinder. And Katie picked up the Gorax and goes, I know, this model doesn't have Pathfinder. Brian was like, yeah, but how much of my other stuff? She's like, you don't understand. This model doesn't have Pathfinder.
To be fair, I said, The Rotterhorn only has flight.
And Kruger.
I had guns, too. I can't shoot through forests.
The Stalker can't see through the forest to charge. What's it going to do, like, teleport past it? No, come on.
You got to move those stones out the way.
So it can charge.
Well, and then, but you're so pretty, Brian.
It's going to be so great when I beat Keith in 3 weeks. I don't know how yet. I haven't quite figured that
out. Can do it.
I recommend you bring either poop or potatoes with you for him.
Careful, he has Watcher.
It's not countercharge. Oh.
Watcher doesn't work on the...
Don't ruin the fucking joke, Jeremy! God damn it!
No, no, because I spent an entire game. I played two admonition casters.
Why is he still talking?
I spent two entire games trying to tell him. He's like, well, what if I do this? Then what about admonition? And then I still don't get to trigger it, Brian. Well, what if I TK? I still don't get to trigger it,
Brian. I've never had an opponent just drop admonition because it did nothing. I'm so confused. He's just like, I can't, admonition's stupid.
And my game against Rich at the event yesterday is he had his bronze back, and I ran one of my brigands base to base with it. He's like, so now I can trigger admonition? I'm like, you can. You don't get to move.
Yeah,
good job. He was very sad.
Yeah, I had to inform Brian that I don't actually know what admonition does.
Because you don't advance.
Because she doesn't care.
I don't understand why you would even need that kind of spell.
How does that spell help anyone, right?
Right.
Stalkers just teleport and they berserk and they sprint back. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, yep.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And then they hide behind a cloud wall of
fucking
druids. No,
they charge and sprint further forward.
No, yeah, that's never what they do. That's never the answer.
Hey, by game three, they weren't doing that anymore.
But, I mean, that is a little bit of the thing of the circle. You have to keep the pressure on the entire time, but you can't, if you fall back a little bit, if they get to you, then you're dead.
And you gotta know your stones are gonna be, like, in the next turn. It's, like, so weird. Like, my stones have to be there, and there, so I can't block these things.
It's hard to plan ahead.
It is difficult.
He plays Crix. You think Scorn. He plans ahead?
Yeah. With Scorn, I just run all my cataphract forward, and then I don't think about my turn until I see what's left, and then I make a plan.
That doesn't work with Circle at all.
12 guys left, okay, I'll kill 15 things, and then I go. You know, it's simple. This is all, like, finesse. And
to be fair, when you ran your soccer forward, you're like, well, Bronzeback would have survived.
Well, I would have.
Valid.
It's not a bronze back. It's a dead
thing. Very few things in the game are bronze backs. Yeah.
It's a dead thing.
Except, sadly, a Riphorn Satyr is kind of a bronze back.
It's a nickel back.
Yeah, it's a nickel back.
Nickelback has to stick.
Yeah. Jordan said this. He's probably right, our Jordan, that the first two times I play Kaya 2, I'll probably lose the game after I feed, and I'll have like a... I'll have my Warp of Stalkers frenzy and kill Kai because I'm going to teleport him behind her. Mm-hmm. And they're going to frenzy on her.
And you're going to forget to have stones there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to somehow screw that up and kill myself. Which is, like, I bet 50% chance likely of happening.
To be fair, you only kill her if you're dumb because you reeve and then they frenzy. So you might be bad kitty, take lots of damage, but you won't kill her.
We'll see.
I mean, to be fair, you could have a. Were they primal words? Primal.
Yes, they could be primal, and then they are forced, but she can still transfer the damage, is my point.
But not to the ones that are attacking her.
Also, they're not kitties, so I was very confused.
Oh, because they're still full.
No, not that they're full, but a currently frenzying war beast cannot be transferred.
Oh, really?
It can't punch itself in the head.
I actually literally did not know that.
Yeah.
You learned something. See, you're welcome. You've learned something new on Brian's time with Circle.
After it's done frenzying, you can then transfer it for the rest of your turn around.
I'm learning a lot during Brian's bivouac.
And I am playing them in the Madison tournament next weekend. And I might, next weekend is one of the Chicago events. I've had 6 weeks of tournaments in a row. I really want a weekend off. I love the game, but 7 weeks in a row is just too much. But I still might go to Chicago just to, like, get my ass kicked for another 4 rounds of Circle.
Hey, Brian, you...
And every game I play in tournaments, Katie gets to sit next to me and give me advice.
You should use my notebook, because I have notes like... This was from my first start. Remember, Shifting Stones. Can't move model placed by Shifting Stones. See? It's tech right there. Ooh. These are rules that
a model placed by the Shifting Stones.
You know what
can't
we could
move.
Do?
The stones can move a model.
Well, yeah.
You know what we could do is we could do like Colin, and we could draw up a playbook for him. Like a little playbook from Daikon.
I need a list of every caster in the game, and then if it says this caster play this, I need to know what to play against.
There's only like three things. There's the double port win.
Yeah.
There's the single port win, and then there's the feet win. Those are the three plays. Those are all we ride in the book. Because you're playing E fucking Kruger. All
right. That's my Adventures in Circle. Nice it's notebook. Going well. If you,
I should have been using this.
Like, have a high grade for well.
For actual things instead of War Machine notes.
What's our next topic? Are we to Zappities and Grumbles?
I think we're on to the Zappities. All right. We'll start with Twitter today. The Twitters say, at Crippled System, World Cup Soccer on TV or Root Canal?
World Cup Soccer.
Having a Root Canal in the past, I'm going to say soccer. And I don't enjoy it, but I will much rather watch all of the World Cup than go through another one of those. And it's much cheaper.
Yeah, you can at least fall asleep during soccer.
That is true.
If you're watching it at home.
Yeah.
Can't fall asleep during a root canal.
You almost can't not fall asleep during it at home.
Yeah.
I don't know. Root canal can be up like 3 or 4 hours. After like 3.5 hours, he's like, okay, I give up anymore. I don't care. They've done enough weird things in my mouth.
I just hate soccer so much.
Yeah, but the smell of burning coming out of your own mouth. Having had a root canal myself.
When
the
they
smell
pull
of burning
the
in
roots
your own
out,
mouth.
The sensation of your roots being pulled out
is really weird. Yeah,
it's not cool.
Yeah, all right. I guess I'll watch soccer.
Given that those two choices, Katie?
I have some good notes in here.
Katie's rediscovering her lost knowledge
trope.
This
is like gym tech, but it's
like
from yourself.
But it's like Katie tech.
You share any more attack
past
there's
Katie.
There's some list in here, too.
Yeah, look, like this one, it said, I moved the World Watcher out, and I meant to shoot someone, but they had stealth. That's a mistake.
Good job.
It's a deep book here, like really next level thinking.
These must have been my first few games, because like I took notes and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is April of 2012, so
before you learned not to care.
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
All right. Zappity?
Yes.
Which, I don't get this one. Which IAL is the best IAL? I don't get it. It's from Chuck. Which eel is the best eel?
IAL?
IAL, like beast eel? Like, I don't get it.
Well, we can ask the Google.
What the fuck? IAL. All right, go to the next question.
Wait a minute. This is actually good tech. For me. Okay. It says, I missed using an opportunity to remove my own fury. I should have killed Nail so all my fury would drop off.
Good job, babe.
All right. I was so smart.
Did you find something?
According to Wikipedia, IAL may refer to the Indian Association of Lawyers, Innovative Approaches to Literacy, Intel Architecture Labs, a research arm of Intel Corporation during the 90s, International Algebraic Language, or International Auxiliary Language, a language for communication between people who do not share a native language.
I'm going to go...
But is that Indian feather or dot?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to go Indian, whether it's feather or dot.
You're going with the... Yeah.
I'm going with
the Indian. Intel Architecture Labs.
That was my second choice, to be fair.
I think they mean like bestial and stuff. Like spells that end in
like,
I.
In other words, which eel is the best eel?
Yeah.
It was a pun. That whole time it was a pun. Bestial.
If only Jeremy could have read it properly.
No, it was funnier this way.
Bestial.
Zappity.
Crumble.
Is High Command really that bad of a game, or were we playing it wrong?
Who asked that question?
You played
Dustin? I'm not sure.
You played the original version, and you need the expansions and the new soul expansion.
Yeah, the base game's decent but flawed. The expansions all improve it, and the soul's a vast improvement.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Does anybody disagree with that?
I haven't played the expansion, so I can't say from personal experience.
It's just all the extra cards. You can actually build a deck, and
not being able to customize a deck in a deck customization game seems bad. So it seems like anything with more customization would be better.
Yeah, like Andy said, you can build a deck with the expansions, and especially the new stuff, like the locations actually matter, so you want to go there, and they do interesting things, and it becomes an interactive game instead of who can buy the most victory points.
Yeah, as opposed to Kador wins.
Yeah. No, it's
good. All right, cool. Zappy.
Come
on!
How much did you dislike that game of High Command that you packed up instead of finishing it?
That was Travis to me. We actually played a game of High Command. Unfortunately, before it could be finished, I had things interrupt the game, so I had to pack up my list. That was a very close game between me and Travis, but you know, like we couldn't quite get to the finish line. I think I was about to beat him, but then I had to pack it all up. Not very much. Is the answer there.
All right.
It's because you can build your own deck, and I haven't tried to build a deck since the game came out, so I think I made a bad deck. So I think it's more on my fault, although he gave me some advice, which I think makes sense, but also might have taken away my enjoyment of the game. But I got to play more before I formulate more thoughts on it.
Fair enough.
Zappy.
Grumble.
Building IKEA furniture. Use the instructions or no?
Be a man.
Use the instructions.
Always use the instructions with IKEA furniture. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Did you see the cartoon that had the Game of Thrones, of the Throne of Swords? And then it shows the IKEA version of it, and it's just a pile of swords.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Right. Sorry.
Gumball.
Any quick suggestions of helping organize 4 stores in the same area to run War Machine Hordes events?
There's 4 weeks in a month.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't like your weekends, they're gone.
Yeah. I mean,
You just pick two. I don't know. It's trying to go four. It seems like it depends on how many people are. If it's for one person, that seems just
exhausting. If you're the only PG trying to organize at four stores, is going to be nightmarish. Split it up like you're this month, you're next month, you're that month.
Yeah, I mean, you could cycle through them and do a tournament a month, but then, I mean, what about normal weekly game time?
Is agreed.
Yeah.
It's hard. Depends on how big your city is, too. I mean, like Madison, we can get by with two game stores. We couldn't really do three. Seemed to be too
much. It was actually really hard on our meta. I think when we had three.
Yeah, we're lucky now. We have Tuesdays is Misty, Wednesdays is Peg, and then we rotate events between the two, which works really well.
Yeah.
Green. By the way, our Pegasus has more game space. They tore the walls down today.
Oh, did they really?
If you're in Madison, Pegasus Games the little room of shame
is no longer a room of shame.
Will now have a lot more gaming room.
Sweet. But the room of shame. All right. Tappity?
Gumbo.
Lasso wants to know, what are your guys' plans on more video battle reps?
No.
We're going to do them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome.
We put up one week and a half ago.
Are we going to record another one this Wednesday?
We also should do some audio for.
Either you should do. You guys should either plan the audio for that.
We did talk about it on Wednesday, so we just need a date.
Yeah, I was going to say we talked about Wednesday, but there was absolutely no talking about like.
I haven't even gotten the videos off my iPad yet, so
yeah,
that's
okay.
Me.
Why so we're being dirty.
All right, Zappity
Gumball. No. Why know who's the boss at Gen Con? I think we've talked about this repeatedly on air.
No, we haven't. Mentioned
oh, we not. All right, we'll go ahead, Andy.
No, I've talked about it repeatedly at events. The reason why that there's no Who's the Boss at Gen Con is because Privateer, since it's their event, they provide the models for their events for Who's the Boss. And it's logistically impossible for them to bring all those casters on top of all the show models that they have. Because they have to take them on the plane with them. Mm-hmm. And they just can't. They can't carry them
just
all.
Just surprising how much space it takes up to pack and transport 170-ish casters.
They bring so much to Gen Con.
143.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So I'm kind of talking with them. Nothing's come decided yet, but we're working on something for future events like Adepticon. Lock and load should be always lock and load. I don't think that they're
going to because it's easy for them to transport them.
Yeah, that's in their backyard. Yeah. But for Adepticon and Gen Con, which are the two major ones that I would be participating in running it, we're working something out.
And of course, you want to play in the best Who's the Boss coming to Wisconsin in December for the charity event.
It is the best one.
Yeah.
Charities!
I'm not sure exactly when in December it is, but.
Sometime in December, yeah.
It'll be announced fairly soon.
Zappity.
Gumball.
Oh. Thoughts on the new 75-point Iron Gauntlet rounds? Factions or casters you think will do well? And then he asks if we like the World Cup. Obviously, none of us like the World Cup, so no.
Sorry.
That one guy bit another guy. That was funny.
I think the 75-point factions, the format will be interesting. I think knowing which faction you're playing against and being able to pick a custom-made list for them and the caster you're facing could make some factions really, really good. I talked earlier about how Rhett, I think, will really... If you can make it to the Gauntlet rounds with Rhett, I think Rhett will kind of thrive in that format. Also, I think Rhett gets better at more points. So, because our casters don't do a lot of personal work. And so, like, an Ekane just does less work in that format.
I mean, every faction has the ability to build if they know who they're building against.
They do.
And so if you build your three lists to give yourself options and you make it to the Gauntlet rounds and you know who you're facing, there's no faction who's like, oh, well, crap.
There's no one who's bad at it. Screwed. But I think Rhett and Stignar specifically are very good at that particular thing.
As a Convergence player, I'm excited about it as well because I know whether it'd bring like Lucant or Iron Mother.
Well, you pick casters before you see their list.
That is a valid point.
So you pick Lucant, they go, excellent, all melee. Like,
well, except they're all, yeah, that's true.
So, like, that's the thing, is I think Rhett will thrive at that format.
I don't mind all melee with Lucant, because then they just have shitloads of reductors behind shitloads of reciprocators.
I think it'll be fairly balanced, but I will agree that I think, I hate to agree with Jeremy, but I do think Cigna, and I think Cigna will have a slight edge, but not enough to make a difference, but I think
but
they can customize, those guys can customize pretty well. And but is, all the factions will have that.
Making it to the Gauntlet round,
but
most
if
people
Crix knows they're fighting, I mean, it's going to be nice for all, every faction's going to have some sweet spots for that.
Exactly.
It'd be interesting after the year is up.
I mean, as a Crix player, you already know you're getting the anti-Crix list anyway, so them putting their models together for anti-Crix list is not, it's no big deal. Crix is used to that every single
game. And you're like,
oh
man, I'm playing Legion. Well, I'm going to play two Pistol Wraiths.
Exactly, so you could
There's things Crix can definitely just get really excited about. Trolls go over the moon about this. Like, well, I'm playing Legion, so I'm taking two Pyre Trolls. I'm playing in Circle, so I'm going to take two Night Trolls.
Well, why did their list have two Pyre Trolls and two Night Trolls in them to begin with?
The Pyre Trolls are legit.
One Night Troll
somewhere. They're gonna be like shoehorning a
Night
Troll.
Right, but they're
not gonna
double Night Troll like you're saying.
No, probably not.
Are they gonna be shoehorning like 60 Civil Rights movements? Because I don't think anyone can shoehorn that well.
Shoes.
Anybody else have anything to share?
I have a Zappity.
I have a Grumble. Cool Kurt wants to know, why does Jeremy's battle report suck? I seem to remember our game a bit differently. Well, Kurt, I was drunk. Like, a lot drunk.
You know what, Kurt? If you want to do it right, then buy a microphone.
Wow.
Smack.
There's somebody who does a podcast right in your hometown, too.
There is. Yeah.
The Clockwork Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right there
in Springfield.
Right there in Springfield. You'd think he would just join up with them.
They would gain at least two fans if he was on there.
I love you, Kurt. I enjoyed our game, even though I lost horribly.
Hey, Clockwork Vox, I felt inspired one morning when I woke up and I put on my Facebook wall that Alex Shaver was one of my top three hosts of Clockwork Vox.
That's fantastic.
Right behind JR and the violin.
Zappity?
Gumball.
Stunami wants to know, thoughts on Zombicide now that Season 3 is in Kickstarter?
I saw it today. I thought season three. I have to look at some of the things. I have all season two. We haven't played hardly at all with it, so we'll see what I get for season three. I have a lifetime supply of Zombicide already.
You do.
I've only ever played the base game.
Yeah.
I've literally played zero expansions.
We had a day where we brought out some of the Zombicide Stew stuff, which was fun. I actually enjoyed too because when you add in the three types of zombies, it's kind of like a puzzle because you have certain types require certain weapons and certain things. So I enjoyed it. We need more days in the week to game.
True.
And Zombicide just keeps getting left out. Oh,
I've been all into this war machine thing lately. I don't know. Is it going to kick?
I would game every Sunday from 8 a.m. in the morning until 5:59 p.m. when we podcast.
Whoa,
but nobody will take me up on
this. There's some nap time in there that you're just glossing over.
You play games that have long downtime. Like play Axis and Allies and nap during other people's turns.
No. I love Axis and Allies, but no. All right.
Yeah, right.
Zavity, Grumble. What is your superhero / villain name, and what is your superpower?
What?
What's your superhero / supervillain name, and what's your power?
No, that was my name.
Is what?
I'll just be what.
What's your superpower?
To contradict everything everyone else does. That would be it.
When I played the Heroes RPG in high school, I got License to Kill, so that I could kill people, you know, and the GM couldn't yell at me about it. And then all I did was get Beast Boy's powers, and I would turn into a gnat and fly into somebody's nostril and then turn into a blue whale. It worked every time. And I made sure that there was physics to it. Like, when I turned into a blue whale, there was a split-second pause where it just looked like a person with a blue whale for a head, and then I'd comically plummet to the ground and squash their body. Flawless.
Couldn't you just fly over their head and turn into
a blue whale? No, it's funnier this way.
Funnier this way, all right.
Their head just turned into a blue whale.
But it really just exploded.
Nope. It's a blue whale there all of a sudden.
You haven't seen the episode of Sea Lab.
Yeah.
With Tornado Shanks.
I don't have a good answer.
I don't currently have an answer.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Supervillain name, it's top secret, can't tell you.
I don't know. I have to think about
it. All right.
Too complicated.
That could be a topic.
We could answer for the person on our left or on our right, and then it would start a fist fight when we say terrible personality traits about the
person. That's true. It would be.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble.
I guess that was a no to that
idea. Nope. Peter Soretti says, no Zappity Grumble, just thanks for all the funny. You are welcome, sir. Rohan.
Did you send that to the wrong podcast?
I know,
right? Probably.
Well, he said it did say Zappity Grumble. It didn't mention something else.
I think
he
misread it. I thought it was like, please God, no Zappity Grumble.
It's similar to the bestial thing.
Yeah, right?
Comma's different.
Can you please again call out my friend Aaron to stop being so weak sauce and ask his own damn questions? Thanks.
God damn it, Aaron. Get your shit together.
Who's Aaron?
Seriously, Aaron. Fucking loser who won't ask us questions.
What?
Be more like insert reader name here. Who sent the question?
Rohan Davis.
Yeah, see? Davis knows what's going on. He's asking questions. Actually, he didn't ask a question.
He didn't ask a question, so he really doesn't know what's going on. Matt says, best nerd-friendly movie / TV show.
If any of you says it, I will flip this fucking table.
Big Bang Theory.
Win.
You want to know what I think your superpower is, Katie? Yeah. I'll tell you what your superpower is.
What is it?
It's shoehorning a 1960s civil rights movement into the conversations.
No, that's somebody else's superpower.
That's your weakness.
That's your kryptonite.
That's your kryptonite.
I'll say Orphan Black.
That's Ooh. A good one. Dance party.
Oh, I have to completely break in. One other detail about my playing Circle. I keep Facebooking good Circle players and asking them questions, and I think they all think I'm trolling them. Because I'm asking them really dumb, basic questions.
I know for a fact
questions.
Morehouse thought you were trolling him.
He's like,
had
is
to
he trolling me? Are you I'm like, no, I'm trolling someone else.
I like how at one point Katie was showing Brian how to use his stones, and Brian's response was, but that's not how the graphic on the internet showed me how to do it. That wasn't on there at all. And I had no response. It was like mind blown.
There was a thread where a guy had like 50 pictures of all the different ways you could line up your stones.
Yes, I'm studying the internet. It's very wise.
Well, the way he had it set up, like there was just like a line in front of all of his guys. Like you couldn't even fit a beast in between the stones.
Hey.
Like,
technically, it's a flat triangle, so they still can just
they can teleport in. Each other. No, it was. There were no spaces.
Oh, they were like base to base?
Yes.
But even if you nestle in into the gap where their arcs make
there is a small gap.
You're technically there.
There is a small gap.
That's what she said. About her vagina.
I don't understand.
Obviously, I mean, the obvious answer here, I feel like, is Firefly. It's very nerd.
I was going to say Firefly, and then.
It was too, too obvious. So I let that one go.
Was a better answer.
Was this show about nerds? For nerds?
Just
nerd friendly.
I like QI. All right,
QI.
Oh, you know what? I like Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nerdy
no.
thing.
No.
No? No? You don't like Sherlock?
No, I don't like it, but IT Crowd.
Ooh,
oh,
good one.
Oh, that one's
good.
Really
that's
good.
Solid.
I just
solid.
Watched the finale special one the other day, and that was pretty good.
Solid answer. All right, Zappy.
Grumble.
Why weren't you at Texas Games Con to stop the per-year and flansy train? Fail whale. Well, Matt, I know I'm not strong in my geography here, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Wisconsin and Texas are approximately fucking far away from each other.
I don't know. Tom Lund was there. 1,200
I know he was. And Andy and I just flew to Lock and Load.
Yeah.
This is Tom Guan doesn't have to go to school because it's summer.
Yeah, yeah. No,
he's like 15. Like, yeah.
The problem with Texas is kind of my problem with going to Topicon. Like, who wants to go to Rhode Island?
Have you ever been to
February?
Texas in July?
Exactly. It's
or
like
June?
Why would I want to go? First of all, why would I go to Texas any day of the year? Any day?
No,
especially,
most of the year it's fine. It's those summer months where Texas is just nasty.
Jeremy, Brian had a sentence he was saying.
Sorry.
Well, it's basically he continued it though rudely enough over me.
Sorry,
it's a certain place in the country you don't want
to
go.
I waited until the 10th time he did it to you.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Just be a fucking fist fight. It'd be awesome.
So sad.
Brian's wrong anyway though. The problem with Texas is Texans.
Yeah. That's.
And that's why I can't watch King of the Hill.
Oh, so good, though.
It's so
it is
good.
So Texas.
It is.
I've lived in Texas for 2 years, and yeah, that show is... Yeah.
Yep. It hurts so much, but I love it so much.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Nothing makes me laugh more than just hearing their name Rusty Shackleford. Because you always know something great is happening when Dale busts out the Rusty Shackleford persona.
Oh.
I know that Peggy is done really well because she's like the most annoying person ever.
But she's the most annoying
person.
She's
the most annoying person ever. I cannot stand that woman.
Oh, when she kidnaps that Mexican kid because she thinks that it's a field trip. Oh, it's so good.
Yes.
Where were we?
I don't know.
I believe we're on
Zappy. Oh, why we were playing a game in Reedsburg, and Reedsburg was fun and wonderful, and I got Risk Legacy.
That's true.
Yeah,
and Texans suck.
Hey, move the con to Wisconsin. Then we'll go.
Ooh, that's
the Texas
idea.
Games Con.
Space
Con. Wherever. Yeah.
You could have Texas Games Con.
I will
in
say
Madison.
Down in Houston, they have a. Because sometimes this one wasn't it, but some of their events, they match up with the Sci-Fi Con.
Uh-huh.
And they get like really kick ass, like sci-fi actors to show up at the con. So I've attempted to go down for one of the earlier in the year cons and just hang out to the sci-fi stuff all day. And
yeah,
say hi to the War Machine.
The first time they hosted the Mayhem Cup, there were actually some really cool. Sci-fi people at that convention, but
yeah.
I was
like, there's no way I would have played War Machine if I went to that con. I mean, I'm hanging out with,
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
God damn it, newbie! Sorry.
I'll tell you about it later.
Zappity.
Grumble.
And moving to a city with no war machine scene, only a little 40K. Don't Tips for there. Growing a community and how to stay competitive while I'm away. Don't. Is Vassal a realistic option?
If you have no other option, Vassal's realistic. It's not that much fun, but it's better than nothing. All you, War Machine Tactics, just join the beta. It's, you know, you'll get a little bit of a fix there, too.
Don't move there?
I mean, option A, when I move places, you have to check out those are important things. Like, okay, this job might pay me 3 times my salary, but there's no war machine there, so I can't
also,
take that job.
Honestly and truly, if you're...
I would move.
Well, if it was 3 times my salary, if it was a 5% increase...
If I'm making 3 times the amount of money and I'm in an area that I have no hobbies or enjoyment, I wouldn't be...
I'm going to go on a limb and say that if you can't find a semi-active community within an hour, I'd be a little shocked. Yeah. It may not be in your town. Like, it may be a little bit of a drive for you to go to War Machine Night, but odds are good that in a 1 hour radius from wherever you live, unless you're in like the middle of nowhere, there's probably a War Machine community.
I mean, hell, there's people playing it on Guam.
Yeah,
they're okay.
Yeah. Both of
I
our
mean,
fans.
The other thing is you can. I mean, we've done the growing the community thing before. Like, just go back and listen to one of those.
Yeah,
things.
We had a whole subject on how to build a community.
Yeah, we have no idea what number it is.
So just listen to all the episodes. Find it.
I think it's in the.
It.
I think it's in the '70s. I think start at 70. Go on.
It was in the early ones where we still had the topics.
Yeah. So a 70. Well, with 60.
One of the contest episodes.
Topics,
so it was after Adepticon.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. It was one of the winning contest topics.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. Listen to the last.
Did you have something, Andy?
Well, I was going to say as we're talking about conventions. Actually, there's going to be a next year. Sadly, is Wizard World's Comic Con. And it's going to be Wisconsin Comic Con. And let me just mention the people that are going to be there, which is Eliza Dushku, Adam West, Burt Ward.
Mm-hmm. Adam West was in pornos. Sorry, go ahead.
Billy D. Williams.
Billy D. Williams, by the way.
Hold on. In a second. Jason David Frank.
Fuck him
in a second. You guys are some. You know, but anyway, Ernie Hudson.
Mm-hmm. He's a Ghostbuster.
And I think probably the one that most people care about at this table, James Marstars.
Very nice. You might know him from his work as...
Spike.
Oh, no.
I was thinking the Dresden.
I was also going to go with Harry Dresden. No, anyway, fuck Billy D. Williams. So, one of the Gen Cons I went to ages ago, he was supposed to sign autographs. Everybody got in line. He was going to be there for an hour. He showed up 15 minutes late and then left 15 minutes early, so like nobody got a goddamn autograph.
Huh.
Fuck you, Billy D. Williams. You're not too good for the fans.
He was busy drinking.
He's just too good for this podcast.
I hope he listens. I hope I hurt your feelings, Billy D. Williams, because you hurt mine.
He's
right now. I was third from the front of the line when you fucking left 15 minutes early, jerk.
He did not, he's not going to be in the Star Wars movies. He was one of the few people
good.
That he was not invited.
Yeah, you know why? Because he's a jerk.
Yeah, no one likes that guy.
So as I was looking that up, I suddenly passed through my email, and Wonderful Battle Foam is trying to get me to complete their order. So I have a Battle Foam bag that I want to have Pluck Foam, and they didn't have any Pluck Foam. So I went to their site to order Pluck Foam, and it was $13, and then shipping was $17.
Wow.
So I'm not completing my order with Battle Foam.
Nope.
For one single sheet. That's no. But
you know
anyway,
who nobody likes Battle Foam as a company. Like, even people who like their products, nobody likes the company.
I think the company is fine. I think it's possibly some people. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Zappity
Grumble.
Why didn't Jeremy pull a table flip on Keith at DICON? It would have been a perfectly reasonable response. Because I don't table flip. Like, I had multiple people tell me I should have just dropped from the game, and I don't disagree. But it's just not.
Congratulations, you are victorious, Keith, and pack up.
Yeah, I mean that
I think
I'm not saying that doesn't have some appeal.
First you keep playing, you look at the bar, you say, well, can I recover from that? If no, then it's like...
Well, I did almost recover. Like, not well, but I did almost make it a game again, so...
It is fun when that happens to you and you still can beat the person. That is a glorious
feeling. That would have been glorious.
That really stays
It did not
with
happen. Zappity.
Grumble.
What do you guys think of the new Adepticon dates and hotel? Instead of driving in the rain, it could be snow. What? They moved Adepticon?
It's up a week or two.
Oh, well, they,
and the hotel. Yeah. I haven't reserved the hotel room yet. So by the time I try, I'm probably gonna be screwed.
Oh, that's gonna be bad.
Yeah,
you're my hotel reserver.
Probably not 20 feet away from an amazing Target anymore.
You're my hotel reserver, Brian.
I need to get on that. Remind me in a few weeks to do it. Two weeks ago.
Or tomorrow. All right, Zappity.
Grumble.
How many of you will be at the tournament at Misty Mountain? Considering it's the day after the 4th of July, I am a maybe.
I'm going to be there.
I'm on call for work.
Well, Katie will be there. She's my guidance counselor.
You do need to be there for Brian.
Is Andy running?
Andy's running.
Am I allowed to talk to you during
Probably
this
not.
One of my high school friends is having a Fourth of July weekend in Chicago, and he keeps texting me asking if I'm going to go, and I should say yes, but I want to go to this event.
Cool event.
I would
tell
like
him
to
have it a different weekend. And I remember the 4th is bring meat to Katie's house for a cookout.
Katie wants my meat?
That's true.
Jeremy wants the meat
so he can play with it.
Katie doesn't want to buy the meat because it's fair.
I don't want Jeremy to handle my meat. He's going to ruin it.
He is going to handle
be fine.
It. He might
He's
burn
got
it.
Lots of practice.
Katie Marie.
I made a funny.
Zabity. Have you checked out beer and board games?
I mean,
they're both one is delicious and one is fun to play, but I don't know what you're talking about.
And the other is beer?
Does it involve potatoes?
So, sorry, Jeff, we don't know. Zappity?
Grumble.
Assuming I'm wrong and this whole thing isn't a catfish for me, then why do you think people listen to your podcast? That is from none other than Nathan's brother.
I don't know why he listens to it.
I don't either.
He posts all the time. He's a really active poster.
Yeah, he has 3 Zappity Grumbles. That's his first one. The second one is, when Nathan uses the term strictly better in regards to comparing soccer to other sports, does he realize he's using the term strictly better, strictly wrong? And then his third, Frolf, disc golf, or frisbee golf. Only fucking hippies call it Frolf.
That is true.
Frisbee golf is kind of just wrong, so it's disc golf.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I could care less. It's going outside.
That's also that.
We haven't gone in a week to the goddamn one stop rain.
If you call it Frolf, then you take breaks in between every 3 holes to get high.
Who calls it that?
It's a thing. Like, it's a thing.
I'd punch
someone
if you're
out
there.
But I think it's by the people that get high every 3 holes.
I heard Katie say it once a couple episodes ago because I shuddered.
What? I have never said Frolf.
Really? Somebody.
The only time I've seen I didn't know that it was a thing until Raylene posted it on your guys' wedding page.
Did she say it? Oh, my goodness.
I thought someone, if I heard someone say that, I would think they're having a stroke.
I occasionally say it just to get a reaction out of people.
That might be her second big strike. The first was when I came home and the toilet paper was on the roll underside.
Oh, no, you got to go over.
I took a picture and I put it on Facebook and I got like 50 comments and people were just like, leave her. Leave her now. The relationship's dead.
See, a lot of cat owners do it underside.
No, my cats don't play with the roll.
A lot of cat owners who do, like, there are cats that like to do that. And so I know cat owners that do it that way.
Also, this is actually an elaborate catfish for Adam. None of these are real people. This is voice modulation software.
My name is Nathan Hoffman. Crap, wrong button.
You're not supposed to tell him.
If this was all me voice modulation,
oh my god,
really weird right now when I'm having a conversation with myself.
This would be the best
like
troll
a Robin
ever.
Williams movie.
It would be an amazing troll.
We would never spend a year to troll somebody.
Yes, we would.
True.
I spent too much of my life. Life is focused on trolling right now.
I had this conversation. It's still one person, and I'm loving the use of pronouns.
Are you now mayor of
Family Video? The thing with Foursquare is I have like visited this place more than the other guy, but I am still not a mayor. There's some other element of Foursquare that I don't understand.
Somebody has to be your friend to vote you in?
I don't know. But
are you Foursquaring badly?
I don't know. I've all foursquared him, but evidently it maybe accounts some of this. I don't know. I'm confused, and I have to research Foursquare more.
I just want to point out that today I had to verbally give Brian accolades for the amount of trolling and the effort and dedication.
The effort he's putting into trolling people.
Yeah. It was impressive. I'm impressed.
It's like a part-time job.
I think lacrosse is strictly better than soccer.
I, Nathan Hoffman, agree.
I mean, I don't think that's, like, wrong.
It's not correct.
I think
either.
Lacrosse girls are strictly better than soccer girls.
Girls lacrosse, or women's whatever, female lacrosse rules, it's a much tougher game than men's lacrosse.
Oh, yeah.
Girls, but not girls from lacrosse, Wisconsin.
It's kind of weird because, lacrosse girls from lacrosse, Wisconsin.
I just insulted, I've somehow insulted some listener or a girlfriend of a listener or a boyfriend. I'm going to stick with it. My name is Nathan Hoffman. I said that.
Zappity.
We need to sing on the Muse for it. My name is Nathan Hoffman.
Zappity. Whoa. Last Zappity Grumble, guys.
Last.
Best 80s rock / metal band.
Metalocalypse?
Nailed it.
I don't know the answer.
They were 80s.
They were, it's close Fraggle enough.
Rock.
Journey.
They weren't a metal band.
It's Rock Slash. They were Rock. Rock
Slash metal band.
They were Rock.
Oh, then yeah. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
No. That's 70s.
Poison or Def Leppard. I don't know which one's the pick. It's too difficult.
Yeah. Andy. I personally like Iron Maiden.
There you go.
It's fine.
Done.
Hooray.
Those were the grumbles and the zaps.
Recommendation time. It's my new jingle.
We need to hurry.
All right, fine. I'll go first then because nobody else was jumping to do so. I am going to recommend a reality TV show, which they tend to annoy me in general. But this one's it's more of a game show. I like cooking competition shows. They're all fairly interesting. I like Chopped and Iron Chef and stuff like that. But there's one I really, really like called
Kitchen Nightmares.
That's a good show-ish as well sometimes, but that's not a competition show. The one I like is Cutthroat Kitchen, which is on the Food Network. It's hosted by my beloved Alton Brown.
Oh, I love Good Eats Brown. Famed.
So the thing with Cutthroat Kitchen is that it's a, you know, there's four contestants and they do three rounds and somebody's eliminated each round. But the way the game works is that they all start with like $10,000 and each round they can buy, sorry, I was just really distracted by the fact that as soon as I started talking about it, all four of you just pulled out your phones and started reading shit.
No,
I'm making sure I know.
Never mind.
No, I was looking at my recommendation. Is all I was doing.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing.
I'm glad my friends care so much.
We love about you, Nathan.
What I think is good.
I don't have cable. Like I don't know how I'm supposed to watch this
Hulu?
Show.
Nathan, I care. I can look up a something while I listen.
So it was just amazing.
So Kitchen Nightmares.
I'm like, so I'd like to recommend just yoink four phones in front of faces, zero listening happening around the entire table.
I heard Alton Brown and I was excited about that.
Are you done yet?
Sure.
Well, I want
to.
I like
each
topic.
Round, the players get to buy things to fuck each other over.
You said you were
but
done.
They're pay. Shut up. They're paying for it with their prize money. So whoever wins only gets to keep whatever they didn't spend. So, like, for example, one of this time, these people he paid like $2,000 out of his possible $10,000 victory, so that the person had to cook on like a little camp stove. Another guy, they handcuffed his wrist to like a 3-foot steel rod, so he couldn't take his arms were always 3 feet away from each other, and he had to cook like creme brulee like this.
Ugh.
And so it's kind of funny because then it's like, well, if I don't spend my money and I get fucked over, but I still win, I get to take home $10,000. And so it's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
There, go back to your phones.
So, interesting side note, one of the things I do for my homework today
that's an interesting phone.
Was talk about how smartphones, whether or not they increase communication or decrease communication.
What do you think?
I don't know. It's just something.
Would you say that their effect on personal interaction was better or worse than the repeal of the Jim Crow laws with 1960s civil rights movement?
That's exactly how that paper is going to go.
Your coworker, who's a listener of the show, or not?
It's not a coworker. It's your project partner.
Yeah,
it's a listener of the show.
It's a co-student.
Your recommendation, darling.
Don't take classes online. That's a legitimate recommendation.
That's actually a legit recommendation.
Don't do that. That way, when somebody's an idiot, you can look at them and say that you're an idiot. You can't say that online. It's rude.
There's documentation. Oh, the documentation. I would say, because you could just like send them a link to Tub Girl or something, but I guess there is documentation.
I'm actually going to recommend a super old show because I was actually a little offended. Michael Chili Winters said that my recommendation of Orange is the New Black was bullshit and it's a stupid show and it's terrible and he was bored.
There's so many tits on it, though.
More and more people looked at it. I was surprised he liked it because I know
there
many
were,
people.
There were several people that jumped on the, yep, Jeremy's an idiot. That show's terrible. And all I could think
was, you're an idiot. Like, everybody's watching it.
I don't know. Apparently
well,
not everybody.
The thing. I couldn't watch it after the first episode of the second season because there's such dumb things that were happening and they angered me and it was very stressful.
She gets upset when blonde
Piper
makes stupid life decisions.
Yeah,
like Piper, you're wrong and you're dumb and don't do. Oh, she did that. Makes
it's
Katie
very
unhappy.
Very stressful.
Katie doesn't like
Jim
that.
Jim's like when people make the wrong decision in shows, he gets mad too. I mean, and I kind of get that, but the whole point is they're in a situation where they're making bad decisions because of what's going on. So yeah. You can't always make the best decision in bad situations. But okay. So I get why they make
you
mad.
No, but sometimes they make the worst decision in the bad situation. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Just like
but
you
that's
know
life. Sometimes
you
do that.
Sometimes people do that.
I mean,
yeah.
You married him. You make bad decisions. I mean, people make bad decisions. I mean, I meant that they came
no,
out
No, you
wrong.
Meant that.
I did.
Yeah,
right,
you
sorry.
Don't have to retweet that. Jeremy's awful.
When you make that face, I just kind of leave them.
All right, so anyway, I'm going to recommend another show, and Michael Chilliwinter is going to eat a dick. I'm going to recommend an old show called Sequest DSV. I believe it. I think it's just called Sequest.
Fuck.
But I'm reaching back into antiquity. I actually legitimately enjoyed that show. I think if you enjoy things like Star Trek, you will enjoy that show for what it is.
Until the last season when it goes off the goddamn
rails. Yeah, it does jump like the fucking shark.
People with puzzle pieces.
It does
faces
jump the shark. But as a show that takes place underwater.
I don't think it jumps the shark. I think it jumps the talking dolphin.
It does jump the talk. I like the talking dolphin.
Darwin love T-Quack.
Anyway, I'm recommending that show, and Michael Chilliwinter's gonna eat a dick.
When the fuck did a dolphin become like a mafia hitman?
He sounded like that.
With Down syndrome.
The Downs dolphin?
Also, there was a mafia hitman voiced dolphin in the Tick animated series. He called himself The Finn.
That's true, he did.
Nah, see, you're gonna jump through the flaming hoof now. Nah!
You wanna know what song gets stuck in your head really easy? Is the Flipper song.
Sure.
I'm not going to sing
it. Zappity.
Andy?
Oh, so it was the DuckTales theme.
Woo!
No. Yeah, DuckTales. It's the DuckTales.
What?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
You guys are out of your minds.
The town of Duckburg.
Yeah, I know the song.
Are we sure this isn't the
They're
Flintstones?
They're adventuring through history.
It's. Duck I've heard Tales. It before.
It's the DuckTales.
Yeah.
Are you sure that this Launchpad McQuack.
Through the power of friends to feed.
That was the correct response, Katie. Congratulations.
Good job, Andy.
My recommendation is that I'm going to go back to a much better show than Sequest.
C-Lab
2021.
Him recommending Sequest was so repugnant to me. I thought he was recommending C-Lab, but I'm like, but I got the title wrong somehow.
Yeah, that's what I thought
too. It took me a while.
Well, that's what I was double checking. Maybe I got the title wrong. I'm going to feel really
no,
silly.
No, you got the title right.
You got it right.
I threw it one. I recommended the one I meant to.
You made the wrong C.
No, I'm good. I'm good with my recommendation.
C-Lab 2021. It's basically the same crew that made Frisky Dingo and Archer. So you should watch it. It's all good.
Back when Adult Swim was amazing.
Yep. It had a very memorable character who was Captain Howling Murphy. He actually died in the second season.
Spoiler.
No, the actor.
The actor who did the voice for him died in the second season. They brought in his son who provided the voice for the new captain for C-Lab. There's a lot of people who say that...
I didn't realize the real-life relationship between
yep.
them.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yep, but both the iterations of C-Lab, before and after Harry Guys, is awesome. What the hell is Katie doing?
Katie's reached her limit. Brian, right. Did you recommend
something? I have a recommendation. I'm going to go with we're going to do the trifecta of TV shows. Mine's more topical because it starts season four.
Is it in the water?
No. And by the way, I wanted to recommend something. I'm like, please, Jeremy, don't recommend it as well because then, people get mad at the recommendation. But Falling Skies, a new season of Falling Skies
really
starts tonight. That's a show where aliens invade the Earth and they're trying to fight back. Season one, I found, was like, it was mediocre at best, but it really is taken off pretty well.
Season two. And I mean, it's got the one actor, the main actor that's on it that's from ER is
Noah
really
Wyle.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah, Noah Wyle.
But it's a really good show. Really good. New season starts tonight. I'm excited. I got a DVR.
I will. That's all available on
I think it's on
Amazon Prime.
Or something. Yeah, it's on Amazon or Netflix. It's on one of the other. Yeah.
I was thinking about watching it. I just haven't.
Season one's a little rough, but it gets much, much better. It just takes a little bit. But luckily, those kind of shows, you only have to go through a few bad episodes before it kind of gets stride. Season one's a little bit too family oriented. I mean, the whole season has some family stuff, but the first season's a little too thick, and then it gets much more into just serious aliens are actually attacking. We should probably do something about it, kind
Sweet. Of. Yeah, it's nice that you have a kid, but hey, there's a planet.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yay, we're all done.
Yes, we.
Welcome.
There's multiple
Look forward
people
next
here.
Week to the next episode of Poop or Potatoes. In space.
In space.